America and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars will join me at 8 o'clock this morning for 1 hour. And Mike will be chatting with us about the interview that he gave to the Barnes Review in the current July-August 2007 edition of that very fine publication. That interview is entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. That is a must. The Barnes Review, of course, is an excellent publication. If you do not subscribe to the Barnes Review, you should, and you can find them online at barnesreview.org. But if you turn to the current edition of that publication, pages 19 through 24, you can see the complete text of the interview that they did with Dr. E. Michael Jones, and he will be on with me in 1 hour to chat about some of the information that is in that interview with Barnes. It is well worth your time to listen to him for an hour, well worth your time to get a subscription to the Barnes Review, as one of the few places, it seems to me, in the American journalistic landscape where one can find truth instead of fiction. Speaking of truth, there are some excellent articles that are out there on the net today. Charles A. Burris has a piece at lewrockwell.com entitled Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. And as I have scanned this article this morning in the wee hours before coming on this morning, it's very apparent that one of the most significant things about this particular piece is that it has a great bibliography. If you're interested in going into Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal with some degree of depth, this Burris article will enable you to do it, not simply in terms of his very fine analysis of the FDR years, but the way in which Charles Burris points us to some very good, excellent outside material on the on Mr. Roosevelt. And I think Lou Rockwell has pretty much put it down correctly this morning. Franklin Delano Roosevelt is entitled on his homepage as America's first fascist president. I'm not sure that that's entirely accurate. I think we can go back to Abraham Lincoln, perhaps, to see the real prototype for what Franklin Delano Roosevelt would be less than 100 years later. But at any rate, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is certainly correctly described as a fascist president in terms of his methodologies and the way in which his brand of statism began to completely permeate the American political landscape in the 20th century. I think we can see Roosevelt as the prototype from which all of our other presidents have stemmed in regard to their understanding of both government as well as interventionist foreign policy, the way in which the Federal Reserve Board is glorified, and the way in which taxes are increased, and so forth and so on. So if you take a look at Charles Burris today at lewrockwell.com, you will not be disappointed to discover that Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal is a place to find the kind of information that will explain all of the other things that have happened in all the many, many years since. Here's an interesting story today by Andre Damon. And it's entitled, I Will Not Hesitate to Use Force. Who's saying that? George Bush? No. Dick Cheney? No. Barack Obama, according to Andre Damon. You can find that very interesting article at countercurrents.org. When we go into that piece, which I guess is being reprinted from the World Socialist website, we in fact discover what our friends on the far left have also discovered, those who are anti-war, and that is that Obama and Clinton are singing from the same page as Bush and Cheney are, because the Israeli lobby and Jewish neoconservatives have a disproportionate influence on all four of these people. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars joins me in 1 hour to discuss his Barnes Review interview. Stay tuned.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Mark Dan Cox America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones will Michael Jones will join me in a little less than 1 hour. Mike will be on for 1 hour, 8 to 9 Central Time, to discuss his Barnes Review interview in this month's edition of that very fine magazine. That interview goes from page 19 to page 24 of the current Barnes Review, which is the July-August edition. It is entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. This is a very, very fine interview that dovetails quite nicely with what Michael Jones does in his own publication, Culture Wars. I'd like to put in a plug for that one as well. I receive absolutely not one penny for plugging any of these things on this show. I plug them because I believe in them, and I profit from them not financially but intellectually and also spiritually. Dr. E. Michael Jones, to me, is one of the most significant people in what he brings to the table in regard to his critique of American culture, because he enables us to understand how American culture and the American political scene dovetail with what we believe theologically. I mean, you see the way in which all of these different disciplines influence one another. It makes all the sense in the world that we are where we are as an empire and as a nation and as a culture today. We're not in a very pretty place. And if we're going to fight more effectively in terms of culture wars and political wars, we need to understand the larger theological context of all of this that I think E. Michael Jones brings to us. And that's why I think Mark Glenn is such an effective commentator as well at the American Free Press and also with Republic Broadcasting Network when he's on this show on Fridays. Because much like Father John Martinez, Mark Glenn brings us an understanding of these things that gets back to a biblical New Testament model and the way in which some of the things that the New Testament specifically discusses about the conspiracy that was aligned against Jesus Christ in the first century continues to impact us politically and culturally here in the 21st century. No question about it, in my view, and that's not only the verdict of the New Testament, but E. Michael Jones and Mark Glenn are two of the people that bring that New Testament perspective into the political and cultural arena in a way that I think is most informative. Speaking of something that's informative and that is also incredibly moving, if you go to Mark Glenn's Crescent and Cross site today, you can get to it, I believe, at crescentandcross.com, I think is the... Or go to my webpage, markdankoff.com, click on links, and then go to the Crescent and Cross emblem and click, and it'll get you to Mark's site that way, too. His daughter has written a poem entitled My Brother's Face. This was posted yesterday, July 31st, 2007. What is most interesting about this poem is that it's not only an incredible piece of work, in terms of what it says on a literary basis, a poetic basis, a theological basis, a political basis. Powerful stuff coming from this young lady, this daughter of Mark Glenn. But it's also interesting to read all of the comments that are made when it comes to this poem. Hesham Talawi and Kurt Maynard are just a couple of the people that are there as commentators in regard to what this piece by Stefania Glenn means to them. And again, it's entitled My Brother's Face. I'm not given usually to reading poetry over the air, but I'm going to do it today, keeping in mind that I will not do justice to the power and poignancy of what Ms. Glenn has written. But bear with me on this. I think you will see that this is something that should be sent out to all of your friends and acquaintances. Stefania Glenn says as follows, "A glaring sun stood over the heap of demolished home. The rubble breathed the breath of dead and silent stones. And in the midst of wreckage, one figure stood alone. One figure stood there weeping, a little child weeping, a son of Palestine weeping, and he was all alone. He bore a likeness to my brother. His tears shone in the harsh sun. His hands were clasped together as proof that despair had won. All fear and grief and sorrow became him who was so young. And in his face I saw my brother, little Anthony, my brother. A child of innocence, my brother, wept there in the glaring sun. The outraged sun burned its fury in a sky of weeping blue as the child wailed in anguish that his nightmares had come true. The bleak and desolate desert wind in despair about him blew, and all of us were weeping. For my brother I was weeping. For the outrage I was weeping, and in despairing wonder weeping, all that I could do was touch my brother's face and whisper, 'What have they done to you?'" That's Stefania Glenn today in a very, very fine piece entitled My Brother's Face, posted yesterday, July the 31st, 2007. You can get to it by going to Mark Glenn's site at Crescent and Cross. You'll see it listed today as one of the very, very fine things that Mark's site has available to you. I think that this is one of the most significant literary works that I've looked at in quite a long time, because it gets into something that I don't think we can avoid, and that is that we are dealing with something that has the strongest theological and biblical overtones in regard to what we have been supporting in the Middle East since at least 1947, and certainly, obviously, before that. But we think of the 1947-1948 time frame as the point in history where our support of the Zionist movement really began to accelerate in terms of all of its implications when the State of Israel came into being. Where has this taken us in the last 60 years? I think it's quite obvious where it has taken us. And Stefania Glenn's poem says what I cannot say in anywhere near as poignant a way today. We are in trouble. In trouble because we have supported something that has violated the basic tenets of the law of God, that violates the basic tenets of the gospel, and that now has resulted in a level of political and theological and cultural blowback that we are still trying to come to grips with. And when Michael Jones comes on in 45 minutes from now, I am sure that when we discuss what he has to say in the current Barnes Review on pages 19 through 24, that you'll see how this poem written by Stefania Glenn really underscores in a marvelous way what E. Michael Jones is going to bring to us from the political and academic arena in 45 minutes from now. But take a look at that poem, My Brother's Face. You can find it at crescentandcross.com. That's crescentandcross.com. And I would urge you, once you have read that poem, to put your own commentary there, which that page enables you to do, and then send it out worldwide to your family members and friends. I think that this is something that needs to be shared. And, you know, to me, I share so many news articles with my closest contacts because I'm very much involved in this professionally, quite obviously. And my contacts, in turn, send me all kinds of news stories. Most of the news stories are essential reading, but they also deal with things in a very cold and analytical way. And there is so much tragedy that we have to share on the internet waves and on the airwaves from on a daily basis that it becomes particularly burdensome. So every once in a while it's important to share something that is written from a more poignant perspective and that has a spiritual and theological and, as it were, an existential basis for being that moves the heart as well as the mind. And to me, that is a very clear indication when you read Stefania's poem today, My Brother's Face. This is what we have here as far as what this very fine young woman has produced for you and for me. It's one of the most painful things to read, and yet in a very paradoxical way, it's also a very encouraging thing to read. Why is it encouraging? Because there are young people out there, and Stefania Glenn is one example of this, who do care and whose minds and hearts have not been blown away by controlled substances and drugs and who have a conscience and who care about what God really thinks about something and who are led by the things of God and the things of Holy Scripture and not the things that are going on in our contemporary culture. I think that that's a tribute to her very fine parents, Mark and Vicki Glenn. I think that's a tribute to the culture that they are trying to raise their own children with, that is undergirded by, in their case, a very very poignant, very theologically based traditional Roman Catholic theology. I, who come out of the traditional Lutheran point of view, affirm the larger political and cultural context and the spiritual context of the way Mark and Vicki have tried to raise their children out there in Idaho as an alternative to a cancerous culture, that is destroying the very fabric of our people, the very fabric of our souls. It is striking to me that that cultural cancer mirrors what is going on in our world politically and economically. The United States has changed politically. It has changed economically. It has changed in terms of its foreign policy and has changed in regard to all of these things because of the cultural and spiritual and theological cancer that continues to eat away at the soul of the body politic. And to the extent that we come across a reminder in Stefania Glenn's poem entitled My Brother's Face is a reminder that there are some very fine young people that remain in our country who have not been given over to the prophets of Baal. It's an encouragement at the same time that it's painful to read this poem because it reminds us what an incredible failure, our society has become just in my brief lifetime. Take a look at that poem. I don't think that you will be at all disappointed. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars to discuss his Barnes Review appearance this month. That'll be transpiring at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones will join me at 8 o'clock this morning for 1 hour to discuss his interview with the Barnes Review. That interview is entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar-Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. Dr. E. Michael Jones, of course, is the editor of Culture Wars, and that very fine print publication is also available to you online. We'll talk a little bit more with Mike about that at 8 o'clock this morning. But Culture Wars, the last couple of editions of Mike's publication, contain all kinds of things that I have been reading in a most avid fashion. One example of this is that E. Michael Jones has a review of a book written by Murray Friedman on neoconservatism. And in that review, E. Michael Jones provides us with all of the inside scoop as to how the Zionist movement infiltrated Bill Buckley's National Review. When you read the data that E. Michael Jones has in that book review on this issue, you can see the overall value of Culture Wars. And, of course, now Mike is making this appearance in the Barnes Review, giving us, in a nutshell, in five pages, some food for thought about where we are headed
on this whole issue of Zionism and so-called Christian Zionism. And to me, when I look at what Stefania Glenn has written today, entitled My Brother's Face, that is a very fine poem on her dad's website at crescentandcross.com, and then put it side by side with what Dr. E. Michael Jones says in this month's Barnes Review, or what he says month after month in his own Culture Wars, you can see the human face of what we have been supporting in the Middle East in these last 60 years that is not only a tragedy for the most obvious victims of this, the Palestinians, but is a wider tragedy now for people in Mesopotamia and in Persia as well. And it's become a tragedy for our own people. As we lose more of our own flesh and blood in this Middle East tragedy, we can see it at that level, certainly. But there's something in regard to the fundamental soul of this country that is being destroyed like a cancer that continues to eat away at the body politic as an extremely corrosive moral and spiritual and cultural malignancy. I don't think there's any question about this. For those of you old enough to remember a different America, I was talking with a person in my congregation several days ago who said that their husband really enjoyed watching Andy Griffith's Mayberry. Now, this is somebody who at one level is probably old enough that they have other things to be doing with their lives other than watching Andy every single day out of the week. But I think what they're trying to connect to is an America that is long gone, an America that is long gone. And it's long gone because we have allowed it to depart. We have pursued a course of action that has virtually guaranteed the death of the old republic. And we see it in terms of the catastrophe that has happened to us abroad and that continues unfolding. But we also see it when we look at ourselves from within to examine what's happened to our families, to our schools, to our media, to our culture, to our churches. It's a grim, grim state of affairs. And so for those of you who understand and who grasp what I'm speaking of today, let's be recommitted to trying to live according to the standards that once governed the way we were raised. Let's try to live according to the standards that Jesus lays down for us in the New Testament. Let's try to remember that the American Republic was not founded on what's happening to us internationally or domestically. That's what Dr. E. Michael Jones will call us back to at 8 o'clock this morning as he discusses his Barnes Review interview. It's certainly what Stefania Glenn is calling us back to in regard to this poem entitled My Brother's Face, posted July 31st on her father's website, Crescent and Cross, which again you can access at crescentandcross.com, and send that poem out to your family members and friends. Maybe John Hagee will read a copy of it. I hope so. Time is running out, folks, and we need to be recommitted to all the things of God in the days ahead. We are traveling on some very, very bumpy roads. You know what's interesting? CNN has had to change their lead story in the last half hour. The lead story a half an hour ago at CNN.com was that the U.S. military commanders are optimistic that the surge is beginning to work. That was the story half an hour ago. They were saying that, well, we've had the lowest monthly casualty figures since November, at least on the American side. That was the headline a half an hour ago or less. Now it's been moved to a different place on the front page because the lead story tells us that a fuel tanker explosion has killed 50 people in Baghdad. A fuel tanker packed with explosives detonated at the gas station today, killing at least 50 people and wounding 60 others in western Baghdad. Al-Bawaba in Amman, Jordan, has its own post on this, saying that at least 73 are dead in Baghdad blasts as the government is hit by another blow. We'll be back to take a look at that story as Mark Dankos America continues live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars will join me at 8 o'clock. He'll be on for 1 hour, 8 to 9 Central Time, to discuss his interview with the Barnes Review, the current edition. You can find that interview on pages 19 through 24 of the July-August 2007 Barnes Review. Go to www.barnesreview.org, by the way, if you'd like a subscription to that very fine publication. You will occasionally see Mark Glenn appearing there, all kinds of other fine authors there in the lineup that Willis Carto has put together at the Barnes Review. And one example of this is this so-called uncensored interview with Dr. E. Michael Jones. It's entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. It is must reading, as in capital M, capital R, must reading. Back then to CNN, or should I say Al Bawaba. Let's take a look at what Al Bawaba is saying in Amman, Jordan, about this bomb blast in Baghdad today, a fuel truck driven by a suicide bomber. The headline is saying that at least 73 people are now dead as a result of this bomb blast. Interesting that it replaces the CNN headline story about how the U.S. commanders in Baghdad and in Iraq generally are more sanguine about the effects of the American troop surge. Supposedly, the casualty rate for this month was down from what it has been in the months since November. And as you look at this whole story, it ended up having to be replaced by this terrible account of this latest bombing in Baghdad. Al-Bawaba is reporting that a suicide bomber driving a fuel truck killed 50 people in one of several car bombs in Baghdad on Wednesday. Police said the suicide bomber was driving a fuel truck packed with explosives in the attack in Mansour district of western Baghdad that injured 60 people apart from the 50 killed. According to Reuters, they said the bomber lured motorists queuing for petrol to his truck after earlier saying he had rammed into the line of vehicles. Earlier, a suicide car bomb killed 20 people in a commercial district close to a popular ice cream parlor in central Baghdad on Wednesday, police said. The bomb in a four-wheel drive vehicle exploded near a petrol station and electronics shop close to Al-Hurriya Square in the predominantly Shiite Karada district on the eastern side of the Tigris River. Another 40 people were hurt, police said, according to Reuters. In southern Baghdad, a parked car bomb killed three people and injured five in Dura district, police said. Separately, the U.S. military said three of its troops had been killed and another six injured by a roadside bomb in eastern Baghdad on Tuesday. Their deaths took the total of U.S. soldiers killed in July to at least 77, still the lowest monthly toll for the U.S. military in Iraq since last November and the lowest since the buildup of 30,000 extra U.S. troops began in February. On the political front, the largest Sunni bloc in parliament, the Accordance Front, has decided to pull out after Iraqi Premier Nouri al-Maliki declined to meet a list of demands, including a greater say in security matters. Maliki's Shiite-led government has already been weakened by the withdrawal of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr's political bloc, one of the biggest groups in parliament. Quote, the Accordance Front is announcing that it is withdrawing from the government of Nouri al-Maliki, and his deputy prime minister and the five ministers will present today their resignations, unquote, Accordance Front official Rafi Issawi told a news conference. Keep an eye on that one, folks. You very clearly have a situation there where the central government is disintegrating, and yet the Bush administration is trying to say that given enough time, things will improve. We shall see. I have a caller, Joe in Florida. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Mark, do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've been a reader of Culture Wars magazines for years, and when you have Mike E. Jones on the radio today, I'd like you to ask him about an article he wrote about the rebuilding of the temple back in the years around 300.
Okay.
I don't know if many people are aware of it, and I think it's very prevalent, relevant to what's going on today with dispensationalism and the religious evangelical movement and the Jewish movements to try to rebuild Solomon's temple. I think it's very important to look through history and see how this was tried before by the Roman emperor. I think it was either Julian the Apostate, and
okay,
he gathered together the Jewish Zionists of his day and tried to rebuild the temple as a way of saying the temple is rebuilt, and that proves Jesus' claims were wrong. And it's an interesting story because, you know, there were earthquakes and so-called brimstones, and it was almost as if God wouldn't allow them to rebuild the temple, even with the power of the emperor and the Roman government behind the Israelis. So I think when you hear about, you know, preachers like Hagee and them talking about, you know, this new form of religion of Christianity, I think it's an interesting story, and I doubt if many people have even heard of it.
What do you remember, Joe, approximately when that story came out in Culture Wars?
It was at least 2 years ago, and, you know, I work on ships, and I had left it on a ship, and I've been to their website trying to find that article again because I'd like to back order it. because it was such a wonderful story. And then, you know, you go on the Internet, you try to find information about this, and it's very difficult to find. It's like a lost piece of history or a very much ignored piece of history. And but it's very interesting to me because here we are, you know, you see the movement now in the 20th century here, 21st century, and they're duplicating what happened, you know, in the year 300 or 312 somewhere, where you had the same thing. You know, we're the modern Romans, and they have the empire behind them with their Zionist state, and they're gonna sooner or later they're gonna try to rebuild that temple. And I just want, you know, the Christian people to know that this game has been tried before, and God himself wouldn't allow it to happen.
That's fascinating, Joe, especially since I've been rereading the late Harold O.J. Brown's book on heresies, dealing with Christological and Trinitarian heresies. And, of course, Julian the Apostate is mentioned on a number of occasions in Brown's book. I just finished the chapter on Arianism, where Julian the Apostate comes up from time to time in the backdrop of Dr. Brown's discussion of the Arian controversy and heresy. And it would be interesting to see how all of that dovetails with what you're indicating was this attempt to rebuild the Jewish temple in that time frame. There's probably a great deal that is connected to this whole thing politically and culturally and theologically. And, of course, I see immediately what the connections would be in terms of, as you've already connected the dots for us, this whole business of the ancient Roman Empire and its relationship to the Jews and to the early Zionists, as opposed to where we are now.
Yeah, I also think that it's interesting as an attack on Christianity. It's not just letting the Jews have their temple. It was really done because Julian the Apostate wanted the emperor to turn back to paganism. And he thought it was a way of saying, well, you know, Christ said that, you know, the temple would be destroyed. You know, back in the old days, that was a real, like, bona fides for the religious, for the Christians, saying, you see, he told us. So his thoughts of rebuilding the temple, as far as the empire was concerned, was as a way to dispute a very valid Christian Christ prediction.
Yes.
But
In your judgment, Joe, with the kind of reading that you obviously do, what's the general reaction among many of your friends when you discuss some of these matters? I assume you know at least a few people there in Florida who have been influenced at least indirectly by the Christian Zionist movement and by people like John Hagee. What's the reaction of some of these contacts when you bring to the fore some of the information that, say, Mike Jones speaks of?
Fear. I find that most people don't want to discuss issues at this level. They're scared of being labeled. It's almost like talking about any kind of racial issue. You have to feel people out. You have to develop a friendship to a level where you can get this far. But at times I'll talk to people and it's almost like their eyes are wide open and they're like, wow, I can't believe you're saying that, but you're right, you know? But you have to ease them into it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had a very odd experience recently where a person who's a friend of mine that's been a family friend for a long time, served with my parents in the military, and who comes from a theological background that's not given to supporting Christian Zionism, was nonetheless quite taken aback when I showed her several things that have been published in Culture Wars that contradict the prevailing party line on Zionism in Israel that you get in the American media. And these were, I felt, very mainstream presentations, very academically sound presentations, coming from E. Michael Jones in this case. And the lady that I was showing this material to is herself a very traditional Roman Catholic. And yet when given the opportunity to examine some of Michael Jones' research, she just had this visceral reaction like I was showing her neo-Nazi literature or something.
Well, that's the way the culture has brainwashed these people to prevent our message from getting out. I mean, I read Culture Wars and I read The Wanderer, which is a great conservative Catholic basic weekly magazine or newspaper. And, you know, I'll give them to people, and they're like, they don't want to read it. I'm like, what's the matter? I mean, it's just, I've read that's a right-wing opus die, whatever. And I'm like, no, I mean, even if it is, read what they say and then decide for yourself, you know. But they're intimidated, and it's sad where we're at, because I believe in finding the truth wherever it is.
Well, that's right, and I did not get a chance to listen to Dr. Hesham Talawi's Current Issues television show last night online. He was interviewing Dr. Ronald Sider, who is the executive director of something called Evangelicals for Social Action, and Sider was one of a group of Protestant evangelicals who signed a letter that was printed in the New York Times, a letter that had been addressed originally to President Bush, asking for a more even-handed Middle Eastern policy and for some of the legitimate rights of the Palestinians to be addressed. Now, I read the text of that letter yesterday on the air and then offered my own take as to the way in which we should potentially evaluate the information that was contained there. And again, I did not get a chance to listen to Dr. Hesham Talawi's interview with Sider last evening, but I know when I was on Talawi's show and we were talking about Christian Zionism, at one point I made reference to the fact that I was an evangelical Christian, and I discovered that I had to clarify for Talawi what I meant by that, because in his frame of reference, the term evangelical, which of course simply in the New Testament context means good news, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, that's all that it means. And yet, nonetheless, the term evangelical in the contemporary 21st century context has come to mean all kinds of things that would suggest very strongly and very understandably that the term has been completely polluted in today's world, because when we think of evangelical, what immediately comes to mind is in so many people's minds the imagery of John Hagee and Christian Zionism and supporting bombing other people into the Stone Age for Jesus, this kind of thing. And so whether you're talking about your perspective on this, Joe, I assume you're an Orthodox Roman Catholic, is that correct?
I like the philosophy. I'm kind of a... I don't go to church that much. I should go a lot more. I have some problems also with certain things, but I'd rather not discuss. I just like to say that.
Oh, sure.
I subscribe to the. My problem with the church is it doesn't live up to its orthodox.
Well, let me share this with you as an evangelical Orthodox Lutheran pastor. I agree with you. I mean, I see so much garbage that's going on in my own denomination that I think when you're looking at any institutional version of Christianity, no matter what it is, you're going to run into that very sad phenomenon. But what I the only reason I mention any of this is that to me, when I think of in the most generic sense, the word evangelical in the original Greek, simply talking about good news, the idea that, that there is a good news that needs to be proclaimed about what God has done on behalf of humanity through his Son. That's all that it means. But unfortunately, when you look at so much of the baggage that is now connected with this term evangelical, whether we're thinking about John Hagee or Pat Robertson or the late Jerry Falwell, or we're thinking about Ted Haggard or Christians United for Israel or any of this sort of thing, there are so many people that hear the term evangelical in today's culture and go, oh, my word, I want nothing to do with that. And I really understand why they feel that way, because when I look at what has been supported in the name of the so-called good news, I can see why so many people think evangelicalism has come to mean bad news, as in the support of the agenda of corporate America, the support for Zionism in the Middle East, this incredibly sick alliance that so many of the leaders of this movement have with George W. Bush. And I guess what I'm driving at is that it's refreshing to see, as I'm doing this radio show, people like you call in, people write me, and I am profoundly moved, and I say this sincerely, profoundly moved by the number of thinking people, decent people of all kinds of theological persuasions that have not bowed the knee to Baal, so to speak, and that have independent minds and read sources of information that the establishment cannot keep from them, whatever those sources of information might happen to be. And, the number of folks like you that come to me and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm seeing, it's encouraging because it essentially says that no matter how Orwellian our society becomes, the establishment, the global establishment, the Zionist establishment, the religious establishment that's married to all of that, cannot exterminate freedom of thought and freedom of speech, and cannot exterminate independence of thought and independence of heart and mind. And from that vantage point, it's a beacon of light in an otherwise dark situation.
Well, I'd just like to mention, as far as the Catholic Church, in my view, I love the Catholic Church for being the beacon of Western civilization that it's been. I love the Mass. I think for now that because of a lot of the politics in the Church, you can always just go to the church, Catholic Church, and just enjoy the Eucharist and be a part of the Mass. You don't have to join the politics. What scares me is whether or not the Catholic Church will join with the New World Order. And right now, that's the war, I think, that's going on with the Church, inside the Church. And that's going to be the final deal, of whether the Church stays pure to the cause of Christ. But I'd like to add one thing, and that is, I've always heard the Zionists say that America should go join with Israel so that we shall be blessed. The evangelicals say the same thing. I look at our history over the
last... Stay on the line, Joe.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Mark Danthoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones will be with me in a few minutes to discuss his Barnes Review appearance. That is a piece entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar-Author, Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. That is an interview that Dr. E. Michael Jones gave to the Barnes Review in their current edition, the July-August 2007 version of that publication. Joe, you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead with your point.
Yeah, well, you know, you hear a lot of these neocon Zionist preachers talking about how America has to go along with Israel so we get God's blessing and we are blessed also. I haven't seen much of a blessing on my country in the last 50 years since we've been going along with Israel.
I've seen
our culture destroyed. I think that if you want to do a graph about the moral degradation of this country along the period of us supporting Israel. When I listened to you the other day and you were talking about how the Jews chose Barabbas, that is so perfect of an explanation. The Jews chose Barabbas, and that's why they're into Zionism and militantism and revolution. And they, as a people, I hate to say it as a people, but it's spiritual and it's so true. That they chose Barabbas over Christ. That's what Zionism is. That's what Israel is. And when you talk to Michael Jones, I hope you bring up about Julian the Apostate. I'd love to try to track that article down and find out more information about that whole story, because it's very prevalent to today's history.
Joe, I will definitely ask him about it. I have the notes down here because I'm interested in the article as well. And I sure hope you call me again, because you're a joy to talk to.
I sure will. And one other thing, I have a feeling the persecutions are going to be coming pretty soon. I was given a message one time in a spiritual moment that when they were bringing the Christians into the Roman arena, they were singing. And that was the message.
Well, I think it's a message that is well taken, because to me, as I look at the drumbeat for war that is going on with Obama and Clinton on the one hand, and with Giuliani and Romney and McCain on the other, and then I see the sick, demonic, theocratic context of this that John Hagee is promoting with his so-called Christians United for Israel, it's almost like we can hear the mob chanting, give us Barabbas.
Absolutely.
Thank you
very much for listening.
Joe, God bless you. Hope you call me again. Take care, sir. And I have made some notes in regard to my conversation with Joe. I will definitely ask at some point in the next hour, ask Dr. E. Michael Jones about that article that he wrote for Culture Wars on the role of Julian the Apostate in this movement in what appears to be the late 3rd or early 4th century, about the issue of rebuilding a temple at that time in the midst of the Roman Empire. You know, folks, I think it's abundantly clear that there are a number of us out there who have not bought the party line that's being promoted by any of these people, this whole business of Zionism. And after E. Michael Jones' show today, I want to get back a little bit to what Stefania Glenn has written in her poem, and also to look at what Kurt Nimmo has to tell us about Hillary Clinton, and also to glance a little bit at Andre Damon's piece on Barack Obama to see the extent to which the lies are being promoted on a systematic basis. And yet, as I said to Joe in Florida this morning, it's encouraging that there are those out there who have not been fooled and who have not bowed the knee to Baal. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones will join me to discuss his Barnes Review interview when we return. Stay tuned.